All right, and that gets us to our first regular agenda item. That would be item number 73.
The 2020 Joint Terrorism Task Force Report.
Colleagues, item 73 is a report from the Police Bureau regarding PPB's cooperation with the Joint Terrorism Task Force following the formal withdrawal from the task force in May of 2019. The Council is committed to ensuring Portland Police Bureau has clear guidelines on when it can partner with the Joint Terrorism Task Force. City Council Resolution Number 37424 and Portland Police Bureau Directive 750.00 spell out the parameters of that engagement and cooperation. Per Resolution 37424, the Chief of Police may, upon the request of the Portland FBI Special Agent in Charge, temporarily assign Portland Police Bureau officers to work with the Portland FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force to assist in the investigation of any individual suspected cases of terrorism and or threats to life, including hate crimes, in or having a direct nexus to the City of Portland where there are reasonable grounds to suspect the subject of the information is or may be involved in criminal conduct. The Chief of Police, while remaining in compliance with Oregon state law, shall request that the FBI JTTF Joint Terrorism Task Force share any and all information related to terrorism and or threats to life, including hate crimes pertinent to the health, safety, and welfare of all people who reside, work, worship, attend school in, and or recreate in the City of Portland. The Chief of Police shall request that any such information that requires PPB action to be immediately shared with the Portland Police Bureau Criminal Intelligence Unit for review and investigative action. Resolution 37424 required a directive be written by the Portland Police Bureau. Portland Police Bureau Directive 750.00 has been created and adopted. The policy details the specific circumstances when PPB can cooperate with the FBI pertaining to specific threats to our community. Today, the Portland Police Bureau is here to provide a report detailing the frequency with which the FBI's special agent in charge requested the assignment of Portland Police Bureau Criminal Intelligence Unit officers for an investigation, the number of cases that were referred to the Portland Police Bureau by the FBI, the number of cases that were referred to the FBI by PPB, the nature of the closed cases referred to the Portland Police Bureau by the FBI, including the demographics of the person involved and the disposition of those cases. With us today are Chief Resch and Sergeant Simpson to give us a presentation. For the record, there were a number of organizations that submitted letters relative to this report. While the report is fairly specific in terms of what we are asking the Police Bureau to present today, I did ask the Chief to review those letters and comment on the questions raised by those letters. Many of the questions go beyond the scope of this report, but I think it's still healthy for us to have a discussion about some of the issues raised in those letters. So without further ado, Chief, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioner. Thank you for having us. Actually, I'm going to turn it over to Sergeant Simpson to present the report and also hopefully answer the majority of the questions that were presented in the letters as well. And then I will chime in if there's anything specific needed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Madam President, members of the Council. Would you prefer I read the report throughout or just highlight the main topics? I'd defer to all of you.
I would prefer you not read the report.
That's why I'm asking you.
Okay.
Highlights are sufficient. We've all had time
to review. Ultimately, so I
did not.
Yeah. You don't want the long version. We've all had a chance to review the report.
Correct.
And thank you for the report. Why don't you just highlight some of the key issues?
And just for the community's knowledge, there will be a link so you'll be able to read the entire thing.
And where will people be able to find that link?
You can find that out on our website.
Okay, the Portland Police Bureau website.
Yes.
Thank you.
And it is a fairly brief report, but there's a lot of information. So I'll talk about the main points that the resolution calls for us to do. The resolution was passed in May, and one of the things it established was the Police Bureau create a directive. That directive was created and enacted on January 2nd directive process is fairly comprehensive and does require every member of the organization read and acknowledge their understanding of that directive. The resolution also requires that annually the city attorney train members of the criminal intelligence unit on applicable state laws, federal laws, and ensure compliance. That training did occur this January. It did occur last January as well. And the city attorney's office confers with the state attorney general's office. At this point, the city attorney has conveyed that they are not aware of any changes in state or federal law that would preclude us from legally working with the JTTF should there be a request for assignment by the FBI. The four areas that are required in the report are the frequency with which the FBI special agent in charge requested the assignment of PPB CIU officers for an investigation, the number of cases that were referred to the Police Bureau by the FBI, the number of cases that were referred to the FBI by the Portland Police Bureau, and the nature of closed cases referred to the Police Bureau by the FBI, including the demographics of persons investigated and the disposition of those cases. To the first question, the frequency with which the FBI SAC requested the assignment of PPB officers for an investigation, that answer is none. There were no requests that came in post-resolution for PPB to assign someone to the FBI. The number of cases that were referred to the Police Bureau by the FBI, there were 10 cases the JTTF referred to the Portland Police Bureau. Nine of them are closed, and I will go over those cases in brief. The number of cases that were referred to the FBI by the Portland Police Bureau, PPB CIU referred 12 cases to the FBI JTTF for their review. The nature of those cases includes bomb threats to critical infrastructure, public buildings, private entities, and houses of worship, threats of mass violence, reports of racially motivated violent extremist and sovereign citizen activity, and threats to public officials. PPB officers took initial reports and conducted preliminary investigation of the known individuals involved in those cases. There was one black male and all others white males. Several of those cases did not have identifiable subjects. On the closed cases referred to PPB by the FBI, as I said, there were 10 cases. Nine of those are closed. Out of those nine, the demographics are 8 white males and 1 white female. There is one open case that we do expect would be reported in the next year's report, barring anything unforeseen. Would you like me to go over each of those 9 cases, or is that?
I don't think so.
Okay, mm-hmm. Just want to clarify. Regarding oversight and improving processes moving forward, as stated last year, all PPB officers are required to follow all directives and policies, state laws, and applicable federal laws, whether they're working with the FBI or without the FBI. They are subject to all accountability measures that are covering all Portland City employees as well as Police Bureau employees, regardless of their assignment. If they were to violate any of those actions, it could prompt an investigation resulting in discipline and up to and including termination. Legal violations could also result in a criminal investigation and prosecution. Moving forward, Chief Rush has indicated that she will take an active role in this process and regularly meet with the Criminal Intelligence Unit to review and discuss any information that is going to or from the FBI. That is an added layer of oversight that we are going to do in this next year. And the directive that was enacted in January of 2020 is up for annual review. And so we will specifically seek public feedback as well as council feedback on things that we might need to add or change in our policy. And the feedback that's been given to us so far will certainly be incorporated in review and discussed to determine if we do need to make additions or changes to policy. But we can't change much because there is a resolution that's binding, but we could certainly add or tweak things accordingly. With the feedback was provided to us in the form of letters, the Chief and I reviewed those, and there's a couple of areas I'd like to address some of the concerns raised. One of the areas was in the 10 cases that were sent to the Police Bureau, 9 of which were resolved as not involving criminal offenses, one of which is still open. The process piece there is these are incidents or information that is reported to the FBI that is then assessed at their level, and they determine that there's a local nexus, or this should come to Portland for Portland's review and determination of any violations or threat. Once they pass it to us, we do that same process of determining, is the information, is there an active threat? Is the information here a crime? What investigative steps might need to be taken, or what resources do we need to address this issue? So the result of them is that there's no criminal violation, but at the front end, when the reports are taken from people, it's unknown. There may be indicators that there is a crime that may be occurring at some point, which triggers the review. We're very conscious of the state law that prohibits, you know, looking at things that aren't crimes and gathering information about people who are exercising their First Amendment rights or, you know, otherwise not violating the law. One of the other issues was raised that the report does not get into the same level of detail about the 12 cases that were referred to the FBI as the 10 cases that were referred from the FBI. And that's specific to the resolution, which dictates the layer of information that should be provided. We did add the paragraph that summarizes those 12 cases to provide some context to what we're sending their way. But certainly that concern, we heard that from a couple of commissioners and the community, and that's something we'll discuss for next year's report about ways to expand that level of information to increase sharing information with the community. The third issue that was raised in a couple of letters was a concern about the Jordan Cove pipeline in Southern Oregon and communication between the Police Bureau and the FBI on that matter. And it's a little mischaracterized in that there's a lot of information about Jordan Cove out in the public sphere that I'm aware of. We were contacted, the Police Bureau was contacted by a sheriff's office, Coos County Sheriff's Office, asking us if we had any information regarding anyone who was planning to go down to the pipeline protests and commit criminal acts. If we had anything, could we let them know? And our response was, of course, if we have any information about, you know, criminal activity coming your way, we'll let you know. That was the extent of that conversation. That was between a sheriff's office and the Police Bureau. It really is outside the scope of the JTTF from our angle. We didn't work on anything to do with it there. But that concern about the environmental activism and law enforcement intervention certainly is an important one. It's raised in a number of these letters. And, you know, for clarity's sake, for people in the community, behavior is what we're looking at. So it's not the topic and it's not the affiliation with an ideology that necessarily is going to get law enforcement looking at what's happening. It's what behavior might occur or has occurred or is occurring. So blocking a highway, for example, is a behavior-based issue. We are not concerned with why someone might want to go. It's only if they're planning to commit criminal activity. And I realize it's a fine line for some people, but for us, it's very clear. It's a very bright line for law enforcement. The other issue that came up in one of the letters was regarding Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, being a member of the JTTF. It's actually Homeland Security Investigations that is a partner agency in Portland. That's a different branch, if you will. ERO is the immigration side. HSI does investigations of things like intellectual property and trafficking of goods in and out of the country. Either way, we are not involved at all with ICE, as clearly stated in both state law, city policy, and directive. It's not been an issue at all for us. There's never even been a question regarding this process and ICE.
Very good.
And the only other thing I would like to add, Commissioner Hardesty, to your question when we met earlier, is I have reviewed all of the cases that were either sent to us or we sent to the FBI, so I am fully up to speed now.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much for the presentation, if I might.
Commissioner Hersey.
Thank you, Mr. Simpson, Peter Simpson. I wish you rank Sergeant.
Sergeant's fine.
Okay. I find it hard to read those things sometimes. Thank you, Sergeant. I appreciate your report, but there's some things I want to make sure that we have on the public record. As you know, the public has a huge interest in whether or not we are cooperating with the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and the public was very involved when we actually passed this resolution to really limit how we would be involved with the JTTF. And so one of my first questions is just what I asked you, Chief Reese, when you were in my office, whether or not, how the process works, there is a potential terrorist act that mm-hmm. Portland Police is notified of. Can you tell us for the public record kind of what the internal process would be? What would the very first step be in actually determining whether or not you would send this to the Joint Terrorism Task Force?
Well, I think as Sergeant Simpson mentioned, and Pete, correct me if I misspeak, is that if we had an incident occur, we would look at it and we would take that investigation to the end of our limit and realize, you know, maybe this doesn't have anything state or city related, but it could have a possible federal nexus. I would be notified by Pete at this point. This is how we're doing it moving forward. I would then contact a member of the FBI and forward that information to them.
Excellent, Chief. And let's do it the opposite way. So the FBI calls and they say, we need Pete to come and help us with XYZ.
Right.
How does that process work?
Then they would have to call me if they're asking for a member of the Portland Police Bureau to assist in an investigation like that. They would have to call me. I would have to be briefed on it, and I would have to make that decision.
Excellent. Excellent.
And then you'd have to report that back to us at the
yes.
end through this reporting process.
Yeah. Yes.
So it would be recorded and it would be part of next year's report.
Correct.
Is what you're saying.
Yes.
Now, I had a little problem with some of the language, and when we talked in my office, I was fine with the language. We talked about reorganizing it in a way so that we were really focused on Portland. But when I saw what was submitted for City Council, there's a sentence on the bottom of the front page that reads, the City Attorney's Office has advised PPB-CIU that they are not aware of any changes in state or federal law that would preclude them from legally working with the JTTF in any capacity. I'm hoping you will reform that language, because this language is very disconcerting to me, because what it implies is that CIU can do whatever they want to do with the FBI, and that's just the opposite of what we have voted on as the City Council. And so we don't want to create anxiety among community members where we don't need to have it. And so if you would revise that to be very clear,
sure.
that we are in fact not expanding your ability to work with JTTF. In fact, we are very narrowly focused on when you would have authority, and it would only be based on the chief making a decision to work with the JTTF.
Right. We can refer that right back to the first paragraph.
So yeah, that kind of scared me when I saw that.
Yeah, for clarity, that is, we will adjust that, but it is in accordance with the resolution. It is not an expansion. It is simply saying the hard document, the four corners, nothing is, there's no problem there should that be enacted. So we'll fix that.
So you may want to add, like, as per the resolution.
Got it.
Right, blah, 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 right? So just so that there's clarity, right? Because people will be upset, but at least let them be upset about the right things rather than things that we just misworded, right? let's see. I think for me, it would be very helpful for me to know whether or not, who does the community go to when a hate crime happens? Because I hear it's the JTTF, I hear it's the FBI, I hear it's Portland Police. Can you tell me, who does the community go to when a hate crime happens?
You want to take this one? Can we take this one?
Sure.
Okay. So primarily, if someone is a victim of any crime, we want them to call the police, whether it be 911 or non-emergency, to report that crime. That's kind of the entry point into the criminal justice system. With hate crimes, you know, we've done, the Police Bureau and with help of partners has done a lot of outreach to encourage more reporting. And certainly, I think we recognize there are some people who are, there is sometimes confusion between the hate crime and a hate incident, and that's where the Portland United Against Hate and under Commissioner Udaly's office steps in and has done a lot of outreach there, and with changes with state law, there's going to be, at some point, a hotline, I believe, that will be at the state level for some reporting. Whatever form, we encourage people to report first and foremost and let investigators look at it. With the Police Bureau specifically, when it comes to a police report of a hate incident or hate crime or a bias crime detectives, which are not part of CIU and the Joint Terrorism Task Force, they review all those and investigate every incident. If there was an indication, for example, that that incident was connected to perhaps a known group or a larger, you know, national or international based organization, they might come call us and say, you know, can you help us with this? Because this appears to be linked to something else. And at that point, we may funnel that to the JTTF, pending the chief's approval. The hate crimes, the other hate crimes, as I understand them, are reported to the FBI, which is a different division that does the hate crimes at the FBI level. They're separated, sort of like the Police Bureau. But, you know, to put a fine point on it, we encourage more reporting of these incidents. And for some people who are, I think, who don't know, if they feel like they're threatened, we want that report, because that's maybe the first indicator of a problem, where we may not be able to take police action through an investigation or an assessment. There's no crime. However, that person is now perhaps being looked at for future events. If their name comes up again, we can see that they were subject of a prior report or a location. There's lots of reasons for that reporting, but we want to encourage it strongly.
Thank you,
Commissioner. Commissioner Fritz, did you have any questions?
No, thank you.
Very good. Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate the outline of the cases that were referred to PPB by the FBI. I'm wondering about the 12 cases referred to the FBI by PPB. Do we have any kind of similar data on those?
Right, and we talked about trying to expand on that in future reports. Part of the problem that we want to make sure that we're not doing is reporting on or reporting inaccurate information. Right. I could forward something to them that turns out to be something completely different, but once I forward it to them, I don't have any follow-up with it.
Okay.
So I want to make sure that I'm not reporting on something that wasn't accurate. So we'll look for ways to try and expand that. Maybe if the cases are closed, see if we can get some information on it, but I want to make sure it's accurate in the future.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion to accept the report. I have a second from Commissioner Udaly. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Well, thank you very much for all of your hard work on this. I appreciate the report. I have read all of the community testimony that's been sent in. I do share some of the concerns that I've read. I think back to this time last year where Commissioner Hardesty was bringing the resolution to council, and then after it, well, to get to the resolution that passed, it was probably 6 weeks of negotiations between her staff, herself and her staff, and the mayor and his staff, and Tim Crail, my chief of staff. So this process has turned out the way I was hoping it would, and I think the information that we have received is what I was expecting, and I appreciate the transparency. Aye.
Oh, sorry. Hardesty.
I want to thank you very much for coming to meet with me and talking about this report ahead of time. Chief, I appreciate your grace being a new kid on the block in this position. I've put a lot of heat on you, and you have handled it with grace.
Thank you.
It is my responsibility and obligation to make sure that our participation with the Joint Terrorism Task Force is extremely limited. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate the openness about kind of where we are now and how we improve this process. And I will also put on the record again, like we did last year, is that if we need to refine the resolution so that we're really more clear about how limited that participation is, then I'm very open to that idea. The fact that, Pete, that you've been very straightforward about this is kind of how the process worked, I'm very appreciative of that, but I will certainly hold you to the standard that the community has set for our involvement with the Joint Tourism Task Force. And quite frankly, I understand the fear, because this is a presidential election year, and when major protests happen, it is really easy for people to get swooped up and something and be labeled something that they're really not a part of. And so I look forward to deepening my relationship with you, Chief, and continuing to work with the CIU to make sure that you are not stepping over the line. Thank you so much, and I vote aye.
You, Daly?
Well, thank you for the report. I appreciate, and I think my colleagues and the public also appreciate, the level of transparency we're getting. It was somewhat of a mystery to me what the JTTF was doing prior to our withdrawal. I think it's notable that of the 12 cases referred by the FBI to PPB and the 10 referred by PPB to the FBI, that only one involved a person of color and only one involved a woman, because that more accurately reflects the true threat we face domestically, despite public perception and despite, I think, some of the focus of resources on immigrants, refugees, and communities of color. So I'm looking forward to more of these reports. I vote aye.
Wheeler?
I want to appreciate the report, and Chief, I also want to thank you for acknowledging that this is an evolving process, and with each iteration it will get better and it will get more specific. I also want to give a shout out to our federal partners. They really could have given us the cold shoulder on some of this, and instead what they've done is they've maintained open communications on issues particularly related to hate crime and to potential acts of terrorism, and those still ring as significant threats to me, even here in this community. And I appreciate the work that you have done, and I appreciate the work our federal partners have done to keep those lines of communications open in a fairly narrow confine, and then being very transparent with the public about what we are doing, what communications are taking place. So thank you for the hard work you've put in. I vote aye. The report's accepted. Thank you both.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.